Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Success Circle Business Accelerator call. This is Lisa Minini with Accelerate Associates, and I want to introduce in just a moment my very special guest, Reverend Karen Russo, who's going to talk to us about Lead Your Wealth, Escaping the Money Traps of Scarcity, Superstition, and Survival Mode. And as you know, for those of you that may be new to the Success Circle today, the Business Accelerator call, the purpose of it is I bring on a guest expert or we dive deeper into one of the elements of the Entrepreneurial Edge System. And one of the three steps is mastering your inner entrepreneur, systematizing and monetizing your business, or executing your business blueprint. And certainly today is all under mastering your inner entrepreneur. And so you're going to love today. And the purpose of the Business Accelerator call that happens every fourth Tuesday of the month at 4:30 p.m. Eastern Time is that we do that nice deep dive. Remember to also mark your calendars for August 28th, which is Become a Best-Selling Author. I will show you step-by-step how to not only self-publish your book, but take that self-published book right up to the bestsellers list and beyond. So how can you extend your bestseller and profit from it long term? So make sure you do register on the site under Accelerated Success Institute under the training. You'll see Becoming a Best-Selling Author with the Bestseller Profit System. Of course, you get a lot of goodies. Well, I will also send you the self-study program, so you get the CDs, the workbook, and we get to work together. So we have two live calls scheduled for August 28th and September 11th, an unlimited amount of coaching via email. So any questions that you have about the program, you and I work together. So real excited about that. And if you've been thinking about writing a book, now is the best time to get started, and I look forward to working with you guys. So let's get started in Lead Your Wealth. I want to get right into it because we've got some fabulous things to talk about. You know, a lot of you are very smart, spiritually connected, talented professionals. That's who I work with. Mm-hmm. Yet, you might be blocked by subtle anxieties, maybe resentments or overwhelm about money. So I have Reverend Karen Russo. I want to just read to you a little bit about her bio because she's a very impressive lady. You know, with her unusual blend of experience, such as an MBA from Columbia University, she's an accomplished corporate trainer, top-selling salesperson, ordained interfaith minister. She shares insights from over 25 years of success in secular and spiritual realms. She's been featured in the movie Empower on TV's Good Morning Arizona and WABC TV New York and the Arizona Republic and the Phoenix Woman in Science of Mind magazines. She's been all over. She's also been with eWomen Network, NABO, and corporate platforms. She's a professional member of the National Speakers Association and also founding member of the Evolutionary Business Council. Yay! You know, you can think of Karen as your spiritual guide in wealth creation. She's also the award-winning author of The Money Keys, Unlocking Peace, Freedom, and Real Financial Power, featuring testimonies from her teachers, Dr. Michael Bernard Beckwith of The Secret, Laurel Langemeyer, is it? T. Harv Eker, and a foreword by Bob Proctor. So, Karen, welcome to the Success Circle.
Oh, thank you so much, Lisa. Thank you so much for having me, and I'm really excited about our conversation.
I am, too. Well, let's get started. So, tell us about spiritual wealth leadership. What is that exactly, and why is that important?
Well, it's really great to start there with what exactly is spiritual wealth leadership, or spiritual money mastery, or the idea of having a spiritual approach to wealth. And I'll begin with what it's not.
Okay.
And what it's not is a number. So sometimes what people will get excited about, and there's nothing wrong with getting excited about a number, six figures in the year or the month or the week, or a portfolio or you know, a database, or like you'll get excited about the number, mm-hmm. a single number as mm-hmm. being the goal or the it.
Mm-hmm.
And while the numbers are absolutely a part of the it, what I like people to really expand into, and particularly for what's going to get your inner entrepreneur excited,
mm-hmm.
and that is the idea that spiritual wealth leadership is, it's a spiritual approach to money and wealth that is inspiring. It's mental thoughts and emotional reactions and conversation about yourself, money, and the world that are creative and empowering. It's habits with money that are orderly and in the flow. And finally, spiritual wealth leadership is the capacity to follow and fund your dreams.
So a lot of people have a hook around money, okay? So they might say, well, even focusing on money, how could that be spiritual? How could that, you know, don't we, you know, I think for a lot of people they learn, well, you know, some negative memes about money, right? So how would you respond to that?
Yeah, I would encourage people to allow yourself to have a way of looking at money where you can be your own benchmark of having an empowered approach to a material thing from a spiritual viewpoint. So here's what I mean by that.
Yeah, tell us more.
Yeah, so you think about it, there are religious and cultural memes that can be negative about money.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's really interesting. Probably most of the people who are in the success circle may not technically qualify for the 1%,
mm-hmm.
but they don't necessarily identify with being against or part of the anti-1%. I'm using kind of a U.S. North American kind of cultural idea there.
Right.
and then even if you think about, so culturally, there's some mixed messages. We absolutely glamorize money and wealth, but mm-hmm. then we skewer people if we think they're going after money and wealth. You know, very like
mm-hmm.
very mixed message.
Yeah.
Sometimes business leaders in the movies are, you know, seen as absolutely evil and, you know, like, and there can't be positive motives.
Right.
But then we have tremendously inspiring ideas like, my goodness, Starbucks is now paying for college education for all of their workers.
Right.
It's like, you know, there's incredibly inspiring things out there. There's, you know, Warren Buffett and Bill and Melinda Gates doing amazing things. And yet, on the other hand, there's ways that we, you know, we just really, I'm going to use the strong word, we almost crucify people who have business and material success.
Yeah.
And there's religious messages that are mixed as well. And I want to invite people to say, if you have a religious or a cultural or a family kind of hook that somehow money is either bad or polluting or corruptive or negative or man-made, i.e. not natural,
mm-hmm.
I would encourage you to expand into the idea, what if money was neutral and the meaning about money was powerful and you and I, we are the meaning makers? So try that on. Money's neutral. The meaning about money is powerful. You and I are the meaning makers. Like, look at art.
Mm-hmm.
So if you look at music or art, you know, painting or dance or music or art, inherently, it's not even, you know, it doesn't really have meaning except for the meaning we assign to it.
Right.
So we might look at a painting and say it's absolutely beautiful and inspiring and valuable and important. And we've endowed it with something that's really important. We're the meaning maker.
Mm.
I think ultimately money can be a vehicle for expression like art or the human body or language or technology. That inherently technology, I mean, the internet can be used for the trivial and the profane or the profound and the magical. So if you just, like everyone, just try on, like, what if I could have a relationship with money that was like my relationship with, and fill in the blank for you, technology, I love the animal kingdom, I'm a big fan of the environment, I can see the divine in it. Like, find an area where you feel a positive expression and easy prosperity, friendships, language, art, communication, technology, and see if you can use it as your own benchmark for how you might be with money.
That's a great idea. So really changing your relationship with it,
yeah,
and your view about it.
Yes.
So when you have a lot of spiritual seekers and many business owners, they're really working on themselves, right? Why don't money issues just magically disappear?
Well, that's a good question, because it's not like this is an area where people have been ignoring it. It's, in many ways, it's very central to goals and desires and and issues with our businesses. One of the reasons that people get stuck and don't break out is they're often not aware that in order to really move forward in our wealth and money lives, we must work three areas. Most people will unconsciously just replicate the financial modeling and results of their past.
Yeah.
Or they'll rebel against it. And so this is not an indictment. This is a comment about a trend.
Okay.
Unaddressed, most people who grow up hardworking middle class will become hardworking and middle class. Or most people who grow up in the investment class and kind of privileged in terms of education opportunity will end up living a life investment class, privileged, you know. And this is because it's the unconscious trend is that we replicate what we know.
Mm.
So in order to change, to really have something different, people will have to develop themselves in three areas. And this is where, and most people don't realize that it takes three areas. So I'm going to give a little bit of, I'm going to talk about like what are the three, how I discovered that the three go together, and then we'll go through each of the three maybe and talk about what's the trap in that area and the spiritual principle or key that can help you escape.
Oh, great. So we're going to talk about the three money traps at the same time.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, great. Perfect.
And I'll give this little context piece first because, I mean, Lisa, you're a leader and a teacher, and you'll really understand this. Mm-hmm. So in 2004, 5, 6, I was finishing my ministerial training, and at the same time, I'd had a 20-year career in sales and banking and business, and I was doing both at the same time. And late in life, I married the big fella for the first time, and we were kind of expanding in terms of wealth building and real estate investing and things to do together. So I'd been going to the spiritual centers and been studying and teaching, you know, all of that. And I'd also been now going to a lot of these wealth building type workshops. So here's what happened. I'd go to the spiritual centers and I'd hear beautiful, mystical ideas about abundance consciousness and the idea of the invisible supply. So all this spiritual well-being, wholeness, holistic, whole, prosperous, abundant, nature, divine. And it would include an idea of, let's pray affirmatively so that our consciousness reflects what's spiritually true. And then I would go to these wealth-building workshops, and then there'd be just breathless lists of strategies and tactics. So how to grow a list, how to start a cash machine, how to invest in real estate, how to get your downline together. And it would be pretty much action, 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 peppered with a little bit of money, millionaire mindset.
Right.
But yeah, I'm sort of laughing here. But you get it.
I get it. Totally get it.
Yeah. Here's where I'm going. Spiritual folks missing the action. And the wealth building programs missing the connection to consciousness. So I don't want to say that the spiritual folks weren't busy doing stuff, and I don't want to say that the, you know, marketing, wealth building, business folks weren't spiritually oriented, but nobody was bringing all three together. Yeah, so I'm going to pause, and I'm actually going to put my mute on and cough.
Okay.
And,
no, feel free.
And tell me your. I'd love to hear your response on that.
Yeah, no, I totally agree, and you know that's too a key point, Karen, that you're talking about too, because all of the Success Circle members learn about the systems approach, which is a very holistic approach at looking at their business. And so what you're describing really in the realm of your expertise is you're really describing that holistic approach that most people are missing some key elements because they're not looking at the whole. They may be putting the pieces together, but they're missing some things.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. And so that's what had me create something I call the money map. And in many ways, you can think of it as wealth yoga union, where we're going to now talk about spirituality, beliefs, and habits as your holistic system for what I call wealth leadership. Mm-hmm. And so as we talk about the three areas, and in each area there's a trap and a key and a tip, what people will be able to start to do is to say, where am I strong and connected? Where do I need to grow more? And how can I be working those three things simultaneously?
Love it. Love it. So there's a trap, a key, and a tip. Perfect.
There you go. And you're so process-oriented that I just know, like, your mind is like, click, 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 click.
Yeah.
Which is great, which is why people are accelerating their business results by working with you.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So, and you can even, if you're somewhat of a kinesthetic person, you know, you can almost think of the map. You can almost take your hands, both hands, and look up. That represents your spirituality about money, which is your connection to the divine related to money, where you can either be, you know, fearful and disconnected, or you can be peaceful and inspired. And then take your hands and physically put them right at the top of your stomach, which is the solar plexus, which is the area of identity on our bodies. That's your beliefs about money, thought, emotion, energy, and conversation. And your beliefs can either be in resentment and anger, or they can be in creativity and freedom. And then finally, you can put your hands out in front of you and kind of wiggle fingers and toes. That represents your habits with money, which are your actions, behaviors, and systems, where you can either be in overwhelm and struggle, or in order and circulation. All right.
Well, I love that.
I resonated
with what you just described. I could just see it. Yeah.
So we'll begin with the area of spirituality. In the area of spirituality with money, the trap is scarcity. Scarcity. And, you know, I should also mention, I'm going to go through now each area, going to give a lot of content here. And for people, if you're a note taker, definitely take notes, but also know that we're going to offer a starter kit of a book chapter and an audio at themoneykeys.com,
awesome.
Which is called Escaping the Money Traps. So just you know, let this either wash over you or take notes, or know you can get that at themoneykeys.com.
Perfect.
All right. Trap of scarcity. Scarcity is the anxiety-ridden idea of lack. It's the sensation of not having enough. And you'll know you're in the trap of scarcity if you've got fear about money. And the fear can show up like abject terror or a mild sense of disconnection and a little bit of worry. But no matter whether it's terror or concern or anxiety or worry, ultimately fear, it absolutely squelches our spirit and it has us feel cut off and like there's not enough. Money worries are ultimately more of a faith issue than a financial one.
Tell us more.
Money worries are ultimately more about where is our commitment, our belief, our trust, what are we faithful in versus how much we have. You see, there's something in us that's so wise. And whether you consider yourself a religious or a spiritual person or an ethical person or a person of value, all beings, we have this intuitive realization that nothing from the external can give us what an internal sense of connection can. Mm-hmm. And the reason for that is all external things come and go. So even if it's a fabulous product or a big downline or a competitive advantage in your solution or the best spot in terms of brick and mortar or great, a big Facebook community, like whatever, there's no thing on the outside, no matter how fabulous it is, that isn't going to have a beginning, middle, and an end. And that makes it what I would call a material channel. Now, spiritual source, you might even capitalize those words if that's comfortable for you. Spiritual source is the internal, eternal, unconditional, invisible supply that flows through material channels. And the way you get out of scarcity is not so much to pile up stuff, clients, competitive advantage, JVs, dollars in the bank, but the way to really escape scarcity is to use, here comes your first money key, is to utilize and cultivate the law of unity. The law of unity, that's your first money key. The law of unity is the principle that all of life is an interconnected whole. Mm. And you'll find the idea of unity or oneness across the world's major religious traditions. So the kingdom of heaven is within, thou art that, humanity is supplied from the manna from heaven. Like this idea of finding the divine in the midst of humanity and being supplied and cared for, that is a perennial idea. It's also found in the spiritual traditions of the earth or spiritual traditions that would talk about a friendly universe. This idea that there's something we're connected to that's greater than circumstances. Mm. And when you really understand that the inner state of peace and security and love and vision and inspiration can only be cultivated through connection to the something greater, what starts to happen is your fear about losing something external dissolves. And then you can be in the present moment and you'll be much more effective in your business. So maybe for a tip, I'll tell a quick story about this. So I think you know that when people are in fear or the trap of scarcity, you can imagine most of the time we're being future-oriented.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we're worrying about something's not going to be there in the future. Because if somebody's listening to Lisa Menini's Success Circle, I'm going to tell you something, I'm going to be a little straight with you. You are a first-world person with freedom and access to the internet, and you have it better than billions of people on this planet. So I don't need to be, Lisa, I'm being a little bit direct with our group here, but, sometimes people are so afraid, they feel like their survival's at stake when it's really not, it's not rationally accurate.
Mm.
Okay, so we're going to listen to this story from this, place of, I'm all right already. I'm good. I've got this. I'm present. And in the present, I'm so satisfied. And I'll tell a story here about Kathy. So when I met Kathy, we looked at her three areas on her money map, and she definitely said, wow, I am in the trap of scarcity. I can feel my spiritual connection is so disconnected. At the time, she had a business where she was distributing plastic promotional products for the mortgage industry.
Mm-hmm.
So she was, this is not a business that you would recommend, Lisa.
No, I wouldn't.
Yeah.
Well, for a variety of reasons,
right,
but
exactly.
I'm sure timing had a lot to do with it.
So plastic's on its way out. The mortgage business is not investing in, marketing tchotchkes. So Kathy was, she'd get up in the morning, frantically rush into her home office, worried about margins with her vendors, nervous about losing clients. She was filled with fear.
Mm-hmm.
And what she realized is that it almost didn't matter what she did. She was so fearful that she wasn't being effective. So
mm-hmm.
for her, here comes your tip, to get connected to the law of unity, she had to reactivate what's called a spiritual practice. And that is investing time, energy, and attention in cultivating your sense of relationship or connection to what's spiritual. So I'm on a very practical basis recommending that for your inner entrepreneur, you dedicate some time, energy, and attention on a regular basis, mm-hmm. at least once a week, many people do once a day, mm-hmm. to some kind of prayer, meditation, journaling, resting, walk, silence, music. And these are the skills and tools and things that a person who's a spiritual money mentor like I am would provide, but some kind of practices that give your mind and your energy a chance to be like settled down and connected. Mm. And what Kathy did is she reinvigorated her meditation practice. She took the Peace Be Still 18-minute meditation audio. She'd go into her quiet room in the morning, and she just got herself connected to a sense of peace. And then, Lisa, when she went into her home office, her mind was clear. She was friendlier and more creative with her vendors. She was able to reach out to current clients to renegotiate things. And new ideas came in. Mm-hmm. And she started distributing, get this, sustainable water bottles for people like the Denali Park in Alaska. So she's still in the promotional products business, but she went in a different direction in terms of product mix and in terms of clients. And she still has to work hard and she has a system. And, you know, I mean, it's like she's still leading a business, but she's doing it from a place of peace and inspiration.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, I cannot emphasize that enough of what you said too, Karen, is creating a sort of a system, a daily practice, a habit of really getting connected. And I find that if there's ever a couple of days where, you know, maybe I get distracted from my normal routine and I don't do that, I noticed an instant disconnect, right? Mm-hmm. There's this instant disconnect. So when you don't know it, don't do it, even for a day, you'll notice something's off here. And I'll just go back to that, oh, wait a minute, I didn't get into that frame of mind there, that habit I normally do, and then just do a course correct. But you're absolutely, I mean, I couldn't agree with that more. And getting out of that habit, I think, can be a detriment to your business.
Absolutely. So, you know, we, in the community I lead, we do a thing called, we call them wealth rituals. And mm-hmm. rituals are good, you know, it's like installing it into your life. Mm-hmm. So right now, most people probably have a shower ritual, right? You
know, right.
We hope so. But you've got, you know, there's some, and, you know, you can go shorter, longer, you know, different, you know, you modify, you have some flex, but it's important, it's regular, you don't have to re-decide it every time. You know, it's just, it's part of your routine.
Mm-hmm.
And that, so I would encourage that, you know, and I love that, you know, as systematic and as process-oriented and as business-oriented as you are, the reason your system works so well for people is it is holistic. It includes the inner entrepreneur.
Mm-hmm.
And he or she, ladies and gentlemen, she, you know, he or she needs some downtime and some connect time, because then, like, what the gift of that is, you're present, you're
mm-hmm.
peaceful, you're inspired.
Mm-hmm. Peace and ease, yeah.
All right, so you've done your spiritual, gotten out of scarcity with the law of unity into a place of peace through your spiritual practice. Now let's put those hands on the solar plexus. Let's talk about beliefs.
Mm-hmm.
In the area of beliefs, which is the thought, emotion, and conversation held in place by repetition and intensity, that's what makes a belief. So a belief is the pattern of thinking, feeling, talking over time that creates, sometimes people will use the word consciousness, or your belief system.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
In this area, the money trap is the trap of superstition. Superstition, which is the mistaken idea of being a money victim. So you'll know you're in superstition if you have some thought or emotion or conversation where someone or something outside of you controls the financial success and freedom of your business.
Mm.
And one of the clues is you're caught up in the past. So you'll know you're in scarcity if you're worried about the future. You'll know you're in superstition if you've got resentment or anger about a business colleague, about competition, a joint venture partner, an investment thing, an ex-spouse, the government. If you've got any of that stuff about someone outside of you, or if you've got guilt and shame about a business decision that you made, something you invested in, a program you paid for but didn't do, a direction that you went, an opportunity that you missed. If you've got anything going on about the past, and sometimes it's subtle, you're probably in superstition.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah. And the reason it's awful is because it absolutely squelches our natural creativity. It's hard to be creative and free when we've got this idea that things should be different than they are because of something I did or didn't do or something someone else did or didn't do.
Very interesting. And so that's the trap of superstition. So what are some tips to get out of it?
Well, the law or the money key is the law of cause and effect, which is the principle that consciousness creates experience and consciousness can be changed. So some would call this the law of attraction or the laws of co-creation, but it's the idea that if we want to have a different experience, we have to have a different set of thoughts, emotions, and conversation. And the most kind of surprising or a little bit ironic of the tool that I'm going to recommend is something I call financial forgiveness. Financial forgiveness.
Tell us more.
Yeah, and my recommendation is start with yourself. So financial forgiveness is the process. It's a human process. So the divine, God, spirit, source, the divine loves unconditionally. So even though there's justice and consequence for actions in life, depending on what your beliefs are, but I'm not sort of teaching that God needs to forgive you. Forgiveness is the release of human judgment about a situation in favor of the lesson learned and freedom. So it's, I'm never saying with forgiveness that you weren't betrayed or that that investment wasn't a good idea. Like, you know, it's not a fantasy or make-believe or denial.
Right.
But forgiveness is the realization that the suffering that comes from past events is held in place today by the idea that I was wrong, I was bad, it should have been different, I was stupid, they took advantage of me, why can't I learn, see I'll never, people like me. And for many people, the harshest judgments they have are about themselves. Even if the thing happened through the actions of another, what the way people will suffer is to say, I should have known better. I had an instinct, but I didn't follow it. And I'll give an example, tell a story, and then if you were going to be doodling and writing a to-do, it would be like, what's my self-forgiveness? What's my self-financial forgiveness? But I'll tell a story about a young woman, I'll call her Grace, who lives in the southeastern part of the United States. And for her, she was working in a corporate position and wanted very much to start her own business. And she was looking to try to create a venture capital firm for women of color. That was one of her goals. And she felt badly about herself because she was working as a risk analyst for a large tire manufacturer during the day and had dabbled a bit with direct marketing and some real estate investing, but it hadn't gone as planned. And I'm thinking, Lisa, who of us has not started a network marketing thing as a side thing?
At some point in our lifetime, right?
At some point, I still have these magnetic shoes, my goodness. So, you know, we've all, for goodness sake, you know, who hasn't thought, but this young lady, Grace, was holding it against herself that these things had not gone well. And she was, you know, at the tire company thinking, you know, I'm going to have to come up with at least 10 grand to get a website and get a thing started, and I'm going to have to, you know, start to get funding. And she was in a place of like it would be so hard, and partly thinking it would be hard because she felt so on her own. But she would go out to her car at lunchtime and write the self-forgiveness, you know, what happened, call her prosperity partner, release the emotions, and then start to affirm what's really true and choose the judgment she wanted to hold about herself. And what started to happen for her is she started to be affirming, I am in the rhythm of freedom and creativity now. My contributions are valued. You know, my value is priceless, my contribution profound. You know, she started to let go of the small ideas for the greater. And what happened is she became a bit of a superstar at the tire company. They're like, you've got to get out of that cubicle. So she started to be sent around all over the place, including the world, sent around the world to take over for people on maternity leave or do projects here or there. And then her alumni association called and said, we want someone to mentor our young women. And she got an opportunity to do her mentoring in a structure and a funding completely done by someone else. And she's now thinking about doing some creative, like, travel business for, you know, taking, wonderful books, at, you know, and then doing, like, a whole travel thing around the food and the culture of, of a popular book, and doing that especially for corporate people who, like, she has a whole, she's taking every single thing that's ever been important and interesting to her and swirling it into this idea of a creative offering. Rather than, so many people have this like, I've done so many things, it's so bad that I, you know, I can't choose one lane.
Right.
And, you know, she just has a whole different view of herself as a business leader.
You know, that I think that's a really critical point, too, because I think that there is, people get stopped. And they get stopped because they look at, oh, you know, I could never finish that, or boy, I'll never be able to do that. And look at how hard it is rather than looking at what the resources are, right? Or how to enroll others in their dream and get everybody on board, even if it's, you know, unpaid interns or whatever the solution is. Or and sometimes it's just being open to hearing what opportunities there are out there that you don't hear because you're in this shame or guilt or, you know, what's going on. So you cloud up the energy with all this negative stuff, and you're not open to hearing what is available to make that happen.
Absolutely. Well, that's what, you know, that's what the inner work of forgiveness allows you to clear away the clouds, and you're more present. And that's where the opportunities and the good ideas and the people and the resources are.
Perfect.
All right. So everybody, your second piece of homework is to choose one either event or one idea that you know would really benefit from some self-forgiveness.
And release it.
Yes.
Okay, great.
All right. So we've released, so we've gotten out of the trap of superstition with the law of cause and effect, using forgiveness so that we're now creative and free. Yay!
Yay!
All right, and now we go on to the third area, the habits. And I will tell you, let's not leave out the habits. So if you remember, we were wiggling our fingers and toes, and that the area of habits are our actions, our systems, and information with money.
Mm-hmm.
And in the area of habits, the trap is survival mode. Survival mode. And I think of this as financial quicksand. So survival mode is the sensation of struggle and overwhelm with your money actions and systems and information and habits. And you'll know you're in survival mode if you've got still some commingled personal stuff with the business. If payroll is always drama every month, or if you've got things that aren't properly legally titled, or if it takes a really long time for you to be able to get financial reporting that you need to look at. So any time that there's a sense of stagnation, waiting, procrastination, or messiness with the flows of the money, you're probably in survival mode. And one of the things that's interesting, Lisa, is that sometimes people will think, well, oh, I've got, you know, some struggle, some survival mode, some quicksand feeling. If only I had more, if only we could get top line revenue to increase, then it would go away. But I will tell you, if you have a messy situation, if you've got money mess and you pour more money on it, yeah, you can relieve some tension and shift some circumstances. But if there's mess underlying it, the mess will return.
Right. Exactly.
And yeah, so I've worked with people who have a $60,000 healing practice and people with a $6 million spec real estate business who both have the similar, you know, dynamic of this survival mode. And what you're really calling for there, your money key, is the law of circulation. And I use the infinity symbol, that flowing infinity symbol, to represent circulation. And what the law of circulation is, it's the principle of giving and receiving. It's that all of life is this dynamic, infinite, unefforted, powerful flow. And any healthy system, whether it's a business system, whether it's a manufacturing system, whether it's a human body, whether it's a family or a community, any healthy system has good circulation. Information, energy, money, time, things give and things receive. So activating the law of circulation as a wealth leader in your business, sometimes it can mean you give more attention to being involved in the financial flows. Sometimes it means you are more receptive to the information and the gifts and the offers that are coming in. But what in for many people, what it means is for you to get involved with the flows of the money in a way that supports circulation. So I'll give an example. A gentleman named Tim, artistic, visionary guy, total marketing mind. He'd had some certifications as a spiritual coach. He wanted to start an internet cafe in a southwestern city. He had some branding and visionary ideas and did what many business owners do. He signed some personal guarantees on equipment leases and other things. And when the economy shifted in that area, pretty quickly that business unraveled. And he was left with a personal bankruptcy. Now, what was great about Tim is he didn't feel he was being divinely punished. He had good self-esteem. So his money map, you know, his spirituality and beliefs were actually pretty strong. But he was about to launch, he wanted to launch a coaching program for artists who were starting businesses so that he would teach lessons that he'd learned. But he realized he was about to launch poor and also launch in a bit of a mess. And so he said, you know what, I have to get my habits. I got to look at the habits area. I've always left the money stuff to the bean counters and thought of myself as more of a creative marketing visionary type. And I'm going to use a kind of a strong word, but he realized that he almost had contempt for the financial flows. And that's a strong word, but I invite people who think the money stuff is boring, slows us down. Like, people have stuff about the money that, I'll use this analogy. You do not have to actually grow the vegetables or be the organic farmer who's raising that free-range chicken. But on the other hand, if you have an interest in being a healthy person, you know what you're eating. And that's the level of engagement that I would, there's some way, and everybody's going to find it for themselves, depending on the size, type, your personality, your skill set, but how much do you have to give yourself, give your attention to the financial flows in your business? That will dictate a set of financial habits that are really going to work for you. And what Tim realized is he needed to set up, you know, his online systems for tracking were too out of date. He wasn't checking them frequently enough. So he got himself up on a system where he could see pretty quickly what was coming in, what was going out. He got to see, you know what, Papa needs more cash flow. He got a, you know, which is one of the things for many people. It's like, and somehow, Lisa, I don't know, somewhere in the world in these last few years, like, there's been a lot of bad mouthing of people having jobs. Like, we should all try to get all of our well-being through our cash machines and our entrepreneurial ventures, and that it's somehow weak or a cop-out to have a part-time gig or something like that. And I want to just say, so, like, there's nothing wrong with working, at, you know, in an employed situation for some or all of the income that funds your people, your, you know, your family and your
mm-hmm.
business.
Mm-hmm.
And Tim went out and got a part-time gig that was able to fund him launching his coaching business in a much more effective way.
Mm-hmm.
And he began, as now he's a, you know, he's the coaching director of a of an educational institute. He's done a couple of other different kinds of businesses, and he's done them from a place where he has a financial system. Give thanks for the 100%. Some goes to spiritual giving. He knows how to set some aside for long-term savings. You know, he's able to be in his financial habits engage at the level he should be engaged.
Mm-hmm. And too, you know, I think you made a really, really important point here, Karen, because sometimes you do need, some people refer to it as a step back. I don't necessarily look at it that way, but it's really an investment so that they can go into their business in a much more strengthened way. And that they have that continuous income that they are from the work that they have to really get to that next level. And it's really an investment in their business. Whereas still, and not only that, and if they can't pay the bills, they're going to be in scarcity mode.
Exactly.
Right, and that's not healthy either. Right.
It's not. I think there's a beautiful dignity in having, whether you call it a straddle move, or a freelance gig, or an investment activity, or you're right-sizing your business, there's a lot of dignity. You know, I think sometimes people will try to take something that's, so sometimes, and this is partly why you work with mentors and coaches, is there may be some aspect of your business where you do, you know, computer coding for this and this, or you do you have a brick and mortar business and you do some type of, you know, professional services, or you're distributing or manufacturing a product, but then you also write haiku poetry.
Mm-hmm.
And then people will take, like, I want to make my haikus, I need to monetize them. And it's like, you know, not everything needs to be a six-figure business.
Mm-hmm.
Like, maybe you're just going to write those haikus and share them with the world without having to put all this, like, financial pressure on them.
Mm-hmm. And there's other ways, too. You know, you don't, like, I met somebody after a speaking gig that I had, and she came up to me, and they had this really, really great formula and for food, and they're talking about manufacturing and the investment in it, and I said, well, what if you just, you know, somebody buys the rights to your recipe? And if they already have manufacturing set up with a similar product, maybe what you do is you just license that formula.
Mm-hmm.
And she's like, oh, my God, that's brilliant. And so any other tips or keys that you want to talk about the
in the habits area?
Yeah.
I would say, so a very practical one is take one habit or action or system or task that's in your financial business life right now that's a burden and make it a blessing. And make it a blessing by giving it your sacred attention. So literally schedule in time for whether it's we need to properly title those things, we need to I need to have a different account for this, need a different system for that. Choose one, turn it from burden to blessing by giving it your sacred attention. And look for, like, giving and receiving energy and attention and flow.
Mm.
And so people are walking away. In the habits area, you're moving from survival mode, that quicksand, into order and flow through the law of circulation.
Mm-hmm.
And the tips we've given, it's spirituality, it's have a spiritual practice. And then in beliefs, it's do some financial forgiveness. And then in the area of habits, choose one burden and make it a blessing.
So one quick question, because I know we're running out of time here, but how do we apply three universal spiritual principles to overcome challenges?
I think we take the three keys, so the unity, cause and effect, and circulation, and we we put them into action, like the things we talked about, the spiritual practice, the financial forgiveness, and the habit, is look how to take a spiritual idea and make it actionable in your life every day and every week.
Great idea. And what can, just a practical thing people can do right away?
I'd say start with those three are the best practical tools.
Mm-hmm.
And if you want, for spiritual practice, gratitude's one of the simplest. For financial forgiveness, I would say look for something that comes into your memory that's from the past, that you really know it's like its time has come and gone. Like you really can't change it, so the only thing you can do is to let yourself off the hook.
Mm-hmm.
And when it comes to choosing something for financial burden into blessing, I would say it's your reporting, which means how quickly and easily can you get to a current cash flow statement and a balance sheet in your business. And if it takes you, you know, more than just a few clicks and that data is more than a month old,
mm-hmm.
that's a place to start.
Mm-hmm. Great advice. Really great advice. You've got a very special, special gift for my Success Circle members. Can you tell us about that?
Absolutely. So we want people to really start to have this technology of understanding the three areas and the three keys. And so I would say go to themoneykeys.com, themoneykeys.com, and you'll put in your information, and what you'll get is you'll get a book chapter and an audio guide called Escaping the Money Traps, and then you'll also get a series of three emails which will give you a review of each of the three areas, and then twice a month, Lisa, I do tips and tools and stories that people can find inspiring. So stories like the ones we've heard from Grace and Kathy and Tim. And I also am happy if people want to go deeper with the Money Keys materials, you can go to moneykeyskit.com, and get a book and a physical CD and a music, or go to moneykeyspecial.com, and that'll be a special offer for your folks if they'd like to join our online community. If you want to be in this kind of conversation on a regular basis, we have an online virtual community of people all over the world who like to have 24/7 access to digital tools, a monthly call, so we have a community like that as well.
Perfect, perfect. And then what are they going to, in the Money Keys starter kit at themoneykeys.com, in the book and the audio guide, tell us a little bit about what they're going to get.
Yeah, you'll get a complete overview of the three different traps and keys and practical tools. So it'll be both a review and a deepening of the three areas that we talked about, and people will be able to identify which is the highest leverage place for them to start on their journey. So that I think is one of the things that really helps by doing the reading and listening to the audio guide.
Awesome, awesome. Any last minute advice that, or maybe even a tip or a nugget that you'd like to leave the Success Circle members with?
Yes, I think my number one thing is, we've been talking a lot about the individual outcomes you get when you put these ideas into practice. Like, you'll be more peaceful and inspired. You'll be more creative and free. And you'll be in the flow, like you as the individual business leader. But mm-hmm. what I want to say is, we're all connected. So when you are thriving as a wealth leader, because of our deep connection to each other, you are a blessing to your clients and your family and your employees and your colleagues and your JV partners and your mentors and your brothers and sisters, you know, people that you know and people that you don't know. I really want to just honor each one of the precious individuals that you're working with, Lisa, because your businesses make a difference, you make a difference, And when you develop yourself, you really do lift up the world.
Oh, wow. That was beautiful, Karen. Thank you so much. And I am just astounded the amount of really, really great tips and things that you gave us around around wealth and around spirituality and wealth, and just an amazing interview. So thank you so much for coming. I so appreciate you.
Oh, thank you so much for having me. I really appreciate it.
And I want to just repeat links. The main one for the Money Keys Starter Kit is at themoneykeys.com. You also had moneykeyskit.com and moneykeysspecial.com. Is that right?
Yes, indeed.
Okay, did I forget one?
No, you got them.
Okay, great. Great. Well, Karen, thank you so much again, and I want to thank everyone for coming on today's call. And as usual, until next time, create a great life. Bye, everybody.